It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views, brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. I'm Mark Trepner, filling in for BJ Hansen this weekend, and today we're going to hear an update on law enforcement activity and also the response to the recent fires in Tuolumne County with Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez. Sheriff, good to see you this morning.
Always good to be with you. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Well, and I know you've been exceptionally busy here, especially over the past couple of weeks, so I appreciate you taking time and joining us this morning. As I mentioned, you've been incredibly busy. Your office has been busy. Your deputies have been busy leading the evacuation efforts on the various wildfires that have broken out through Tuolumne County. Can you share your observations about how things went and the challenges that are faced?
Yes, of course. Well, needless to say, and I don't mean to state the obvious, but it was a extremely dynamic 48 hours, and that ultimately went into the latter part of several days after. Start with Dove Fire. Dove Fire kicked off and was very overwhelming, I think, for the community and for every resource that we had responding, that not just the deputy sheriffs, but also our fire department, our EMS, local Sonora Police Department, California Highway Patrol. And the reason why I say overwhelming at first is because the point of that ignition where it started by the highway near Stockton Road has burned there before, and we saw it burn again in the last week. The reason why that's so important to highlight is that when those fires are located in such a densely populated area of the county, it becomes challenging not just for the event itself, but avenues of ingress and egress. And our grid system was, or lack thereof, was quickly overwhelmed. And so having to navigate where we're going to move people and the speed that that fire was moving put us in an area where we had to really leverage our partnerships and determine how much of the city we were going to start evacuating. As you know, I'm providing dispatch services for our partners of the city. We needed to leverage that partnership as much as we could, not only just through dispatch, but operationally, because of the amount of people that we had and how fast that fire was moving. It was absolutely overwhelming in that moment to see the speed in which that fire started moving towards the city. And I'd be remiss if I didn't express gratitude for how fantastic our firefighters, the deputy sheriffs, the police officers, highway patrol. We even had folks from state parks show up. And so it's one of the things that makes Tuolumne County special, is that when we have something that kicks off that might seem overwhelming or be overwhelming for the communities, that we always rise to the occasion. And that's what everybody did. And so as a sheriff, I couldn't be more proud of how everybody responded.
Highly unnerving how hot that fire was, considering that that was on a burn scar.
Yes. Well, I think that through my conversations with our fire partners, they talked about, the flash burn through that specific area. And if you looked at it now, there's still some areas that didn't burn because it was fresh vegetation. But the other, dry grass and how it ripped through that hillside headed towards Sonora was alarming.
Sheriff, it is only early August. What advice do you have now for residents over these next couple of months during these dry months?
The narrative always stays the same when I'm reaching out to the people, just to say, be aware, be prepared, have a plan. Everybody needs different amounts of time to allow themselves to safely evacuate, and make sure that you have a plan to quickly evacuate. And so one of the messages that I always say is that whether you have to evacuate immediately, have a plan for that. If you have the luxury of time, also have a plan for that. Have a plan to receive communication. And this is something that a lot of folks forget, and I talk about this at town halls and at many community engagements, is that communication is a two-way street. We're going to do everything we can to push that information out from a public information standpoint, which is all media platforms, radio. We use every mechanism we can, but we really need the public to set themselves up to be in a position to receive that communication. And ultimately, we use Everbridge warning system, which is a little more intrusive of the cellular network. And that can work in some cases, but it's not 100%. We will use every layer that we can to notify, and we will always rely on boots on the ground. And that is what our first endeavor was when this fire, Dove Fire, first kicked off, was to get deputies boots on the ground, knocking on doors, helping people evacuate. But at some point, you know, folks need to make sure that they're taking that level of ownership for whatever their situation is, should that emergency befall them.
There were automated telephone calls that went out as well.
Absolutely. There was automated telephone messages that went out, Everbridge alert warning systems. We had deputy sheriffs and police officers were making announcements over PA systems in their vehicles as well.
All right. Moving on to other topics, what type of crime trends are you noticing in Tuolumne County now?
You know, crime has been steady. I report out on those stats and they come out on our social media platforms monthly, or I should say we try to aim for monthly. Sometimes we're a little bit late in there, but we're noticing that there's, you know, violent crime in the form of family violence. We're seeing an increase in family violence. We're seeing a large increase in mental health response that ultimately, you know, kind of skirts that line of crime as well. And I always say that we differentiate mental health crisis response from criminal behavior until they become the same in whatever the circumstances that prevent or that present to us, to the deputy sheriffs at the time. But we're seeing that more and more of them are requiring use of force. We're seeing more family violence. We're seeing a little bit of a downtick in the fentanyl that we're coming across in the county, a little bit more of an uptake in drug crime, which is, I hate to say it, but it goes towards just about every other crime that we deal with, property, violent crime, things of that nature. We recently had a homicide that we're currently still investigating, and so those kind of drive those statistics up.
Is that seasonal? In other words, does a little more crime happen during the summer months?
You know, I say yes, and this is why, is because our population rises significantly in the summer months. And I said at a few board meetings ago, I said summer's here early, and I think that was probably at the end of March going into April timeframe where we were seeing the influx of that population. And so as a data sample size, when you have more people, naturally those statistics are going to go up as well.
All right. Is, you mentioned fentanyl, and you said it's actually decreasing in Tuolumne County. That sounds like good news.
It is good news, and I don't want to say that there is zero fentanyl, but in the investigations that we're seeing through our whole entire sheriff's office and also through the narcotics team, we have seen a decrease in the amount of cases that we are actually pulling off the streets specific to fentanyl, but we are seeing an increase of methamphetamine. We are also seeing black tar heroin come back as well. And I think that there is, there's a few different reasons for that. Is that one, I think that we are very proactive in our approach to combating fentanyl as a department as a whole and with the narcotics team, that there is a psychological deterrent out there. We know that from jail phone calls and other sources of data that we get from informants of people that are out there telling us that it's very difficult to get fentanyl in Tuolumne County. A lot of them have to travel outside the county. And, you know, that makes me happy to hear that there's, I mean, one, that there is that psychological deterrent that people are heeding, that if you come here, we are going to be relentless in our effort to pursue fentanyl dealers and any drug dealers in this county. And also we're seeing the price of fentanyl also increase significantly. And when you start seeing that, we know that not only have we affected the operational tempo of these drug traffickers or dealers in Tuolumne County, but we're hitting the business model side of it as well. And so we start impacting the financial portion of it. I'm certain that it helps that our district attorney prosecuted a case specific to homicide for a fentanyl case that we had probably almost a year ago now. And that we heard a lot about that resonating throughout the community, especially with individuals who had prior history, that if you bring fentanyl and you sell fentanyl in Tuolumne County, you hurt somebody with fentanyl and you're going to pay the consequences. The TNT is going to come out and put a case on you and the DA is going to file on it and you're going to go to prison.
And it's a huge credit to you and the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Department that you are catching this, because it would actually be scary to me if you said, no, there's no such thing as fentanyl in Tuolumne County right now.
Oh, I think the number one thing we have to do is embrace the fact that this is a real problem and continues to be a real problem, and that applying constant pressure and you know, that steady, consistent addressing of those issues within our county are the only way that we're going to keep this away from our families.
You're listening to Motherlode Views, brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. I'm Mark Trepner, filling in for BJ Hansen this morning. We're speaking with Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez. We'll be right back.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm Mark Trepner, filling in for BJ Hansen this weekend. We are speaking with Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez. All right, David, let's turn to some other subjects. Tuolumne County started a new budget year just last month on July 1st. How is the sheriff's office budget looking?
Well, one of the things that when I first took office, Mark, is I said that you know, we aren't focused on necessarily growing infrastructure, but we want to make sure that we're utilizing everything that we have to include the full scope of the budget that the board is approving. Now, in past, we've had budget challenges where, you know, being part of the general fund, sometimes that money isn't always subject to being utilized in the best possible way when it gets swept into, you know, fund balance and other things. But we have grown significantly in the last year with how we practice and how we are earmarking money, and to ensure that we're bringing the highest level of transparency to the people, to where we can show where every dime is going. And that was one of the projects that was close to my heart, was being able to separate from that general fund, so that way we can truly let the people know where this money is being spent and how the money is being earmarked versus what the expenditures are. And we've been successful in that, and the supervisors have been great partners in making that happen, because it's important that we can show the people exactly where this money is going. And I think it's important to explain what the whole budget looks like. So, for example, there's a lot of special department revenue that isn't necessarily general fund dollars that's used to fund the People's Sheriff's Office. There's state money from what we call 172. That's the revenue stream that comes in. It's specific. It's somewhat restricted in what it can be used for. We have several grants that we use that offset our department cost. And so I think that people in the community got used to hearing that the sheriff's office budget is $39 million or $40 million or whatever the number is being presented, and they think that that's all general fund money, which is it's not accurate. I don't want to say it's not true, because when you move money into the general fund, then it becomes general fund money, but then you move it out, and so there's some semantics there. But it's important that we brought that clarity, that approximately $26 to $29 million of that is general fund dollars, while the remaining of that is offset by restricted money that's specific to the services that the people would expect to be provided.
It's got to be a little difficult being a salesperson advocating for your department. Is it an easy sales job, or is it a difficult sales job at times?
You know, I'm going to say this so people don't think that my job is too easy, is that it is a 24/7 job to advocate and to ensure that the people's services are safeguarded. And I will say the part that's easy is the staff. How they show up and how they conduct themselves every day is building a brand that we all believe in together. And so therefore it makes it easy for me to want to put myself out there as much as I can to advocate and highlight how magnificent that these men and women are, who show up every day for us. They show up every day and take calls for services that most people wouldn't even fathom. And so knowing that they're out there towing the line every day for the community that we love is the fuel. It's the fuel that pushes me over there to say, this is the standard, and here's what our shared vision is. And so it's worth every aspect of my best efforts.
They are a team, and it sounds like morale is up.
I feel pretty good about that. And I don't want to say that everything's perfect, because there's nothing that's perfect. We have challenges. Right now, we're currently working through negotiations in the county, and emotions run high when that happens. And what we do is, I think that it creates a leadership opportunity for me and for my command staff and also the deputy sheriffs to embrace what brings us to why we do what we do. And I think that they carry that burden very, very well. I'm not hearing these grumblings about, you know, woe is me or anything like that. They are serving us proud, and they know that they're connected to something bigger than any one of us. And they'll continue to show up for us. And it's my job to advocate and ensure that that's not being taken advantage of, which is what I plan on doing.
Are you gaining any new staff members this budget year?
We have gained new, and I want to make sure that I'm being very clear on this, because these are folks that we've brought on by, like, so animal control. That's something that's been a new transition. I'll call it a merger acquisition within the last year. Magnificent people. We did a complete reorganization that just went to the board a few weeks ago and was approved, and that is fully implemented now. To quickly kind of summarize what we did is we took that small unit that provides a very valuable service to Tuolumne County, and we kind of chopped it in half and said, let's figure out where the span of control should be, what's appropriate level of supervision, what's appropriate level of management, and let's make sure that these people aren't trying to recreate an entire business model with the overhead that they have. What that did was it allowed us to eliminate the director position, create one manager, and then separate the supervisors from the operational field side to the clinical side. And we were able to do that and create enough cost savings to address compensation within those classifications in a very meaningful way. Now they have the second level of management that they've always needed, which is to offer mutual support and logistics for that first line manager. And we absorb the rest of the overhead that would have existed in their business model prior, which is finance, personnel, dispatch services. We currently have them on our CAD system, which is our computer automated dispatch system. They're generating reports. They're sending them to the district attorney's office for prosecution. It's a streamlined function. And again, I can't say enough about how fantastic that team is. They've been remarkable to bring into our sheriff's office family, and it's going very, very well. Same with Office of Emergency Services. There's been a lot of movement there. We have currently one analyst, Dave Salazar, who just interviewed for the OES coordinator position. Took a little bit longer in the grand scheme of things of how we wanted this to unfold. Would have loved to have had something like this done months prior, so we would have been more prepared for fire season. But again, not everything can move as quickly as we'd like it to. There are certain things that need to take place before those can happen. And right now, I can't say enough about how fantastic it was to have, especially in the wake of these emergencies, to see OES exist within the sheriff's office and have everybody under one roof, one EOC, with smooth transition of public information, fire coordinating. I mean, I can't say enough about our fire chief, Nathan Gorham, who did a fantastic job with our FMAG. And so just seeing everything work together, it felt like we were able to maestro appropriately without any blocks or any resistance from having different geographic locations. It was just smooth is the best way that I can describe it, of being able to have everybody performing their tasks as they know how to do and give them the autonomy to do that, but also the level of connection of having that communication center be the hub of providing information that's consistent, concise, and clear. So growing, yes, we have. Hitting the budget more, no, we haven't. So I want that to be clear, because we take a lot of pride in being able to reinvent ourselves to do more, offer more services with less money. And that's important, even though things do cost money, and I understand that. But it's important to the people to know that we are constantly reflecting on how we can do more with less.
A decades-long challenge in Tuolumne County has been attracting and retaining deputies. Mm. Where do you stand now?
Our vacancy rate is astronomically, we have closed that gap over the last 2 years. Somebody said to me, and it resonated because I hadn't thought of it, and I was a little bit ashamed that I hadn't thought of it this way, is that with the amount of young people that we have interested in joining our team, is It's phenomenal. As a sheriff, I'm so proud that I have, you know, families and mothers and fathers that are wanting to send their essentially children, but they're obviously in their 20s. But nonetheless, you know, that's still very young. And folks, they say, you know, I'm telling my son he should come work for you guys and join your team. I see what you're doing on social media. And again, it goes back to that brand that we're building together and how proud I am of the staff. But we are attracting applicants, not only from locally, but also from out of the area. And I can say this right now, that we keep our professional standards division very, very busy. So Sergeant Nathan Yorston, who oversees my backgrounds, is very, very busy, but a strong working professional. And he's selecting the best and only the best for Tuolumne County.
Time for a quick break. We are speaking with Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area. For family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service, call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm Mark Trepner, filling in for BJ Hansen. This morning we are speaking with Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez. Sheriff, have there been many high-profile or interesting cases recently?
Okay, well, you know, we have had some high-profile events for sure. I think we talked about the fires and we covered that pretty well. I talked briefly about a homicide that our detectives are currently buttoning up. I think that that was a very high-profile case that, you know, resonated throughout social media platforms, local media, where we had an individual shoot and kill another individual. We are just about to wrap that case up, hopefully, fingers crossed. You never know with a homicide investigation. They are very lengthy. It is very important that we are so thorough and that we only release a certain amount of information that is allowable as the situation unfolds. I can't say enough positive things about all of our partners associated with that. You know, the Sonora Police Department was very helpful in providing information. State Parks, who ultimately helped apprehend the suspect after we had, you know, worked every avenue that we could to locate the individual and take him into custody. It was a very, very long evening. Our detectives, our first responders that were there were patrol deputies. I want to say some of them were boat patrol officers that had arrived. They were closest units on their way home, and which ultimately would make for a long night. And then detectives were coming out, working through the evening, authoring search warrants for data and cell phone data and all kinds of other information that is necessary to collect in a homicide. So working throughout the night, authoring those warrants, and then quickly the next day, and even throughout the night, doing surveillance on multiple areas to try and locate this individual throughout the night. But then ultimately the next day, we reached out to the public and said, here's what we have, here's what we know. And within minutes, we had the public reaching out and saying, we think we see this individual. Not all of those calls are always accurate, so we try to vet them as much as we can and get to the area strategically. State Parks was a big help in that. They ultimately had located him in Columbia, and deputies and State Parks took him into custody, and he'll stand trial for his crimes. Another high-profile event was the little girl drowning over in Lake Don Pedro in the Fleming area. I think that those cases really shake the pillars of our community. And to the responding deputies and to the firefighters and medics who all respond to those types of incidences and have to walk away reflecting on, you know, what success really looks like and what it doesn't, those are very humbling times. Anytime we lose a child in this county, it breaks everyone's heart, and it makes people have questions. And I know that there was some chatter and some conversation about my last board presentation that I did, saying that we are investigating this like a homicide, because I think that that's warranted. And it has nothing to do with just because the individual is a little girl. It's because we have questions that are unanswered. And I will tell you that in my time in law enforcement and in Tuolumne County, I've spoken very developmental of how I thought – felt that other investigations in the past had gone, when we are quick to just say it's an accident or quick to say that it was, you know, one thing without having all of the facts. And so if there's one thing that we want to make sure doesn't happen on anybody's watch is that we don't overlook anything. Drownings are very complicated. They can be complicated, especially in a setting like that. Originally, that call for service came out as a missing person and then was later changed to a call for service of a potentially drowned child or a child that had drowned. And so whenever you have that many questions, I think that what you have to do is you have to cast that wide net to make sure that you have all of the information that's available, because you only have one shot. You got one shot at this to do it right the first time. And we don't want to get several weeks down the road and realize that we should have had a different mindset if there was information to be found. And so what I want the community to take from that is that no matter what the circumstance might look like it is, we're going to do a thorough investigation to eliminate that guesswork. So that way when we're answering those hard questions and having to give the family answers and the constituents answers that they know, it's factual.
I cannot believe the time's almost already running out. Let me get to a couple of other questions. What else has been keeping you busy?
Oh, good Lord. Well, the people of Tuolumne County, there's no shortage of needs. And I will just say that, you know, very proud of this community, very proud to be serving as the sheriff. And that I say this often and people say, well, this really isn't your problem, but, and I stop them and I say, no, they're all my problems. What are we dealing with right now? And so something that I'll touch on that's also keeping us busy is that we are our dam backer work crew, and those are the individuals who are housed in jail and they're serving their time. They participate and volunteer for the work crew. And the work that they're doing is great, and the deputies that facilitate that work are doing a fantastic job. We continue to help the community by executing this grant. It's a roadside brush clearing grant through the jail industry program, which is ultimately what governs our inmate work crew. We have recently received our pothole hot patch machine. And so we are really looking forward to being of use to the community in that arena as well. And it goes back to the whole vision of combating recidivism, is that the way I look at it is if we can give people and provide them the opportunity to learn a set of skills that people are willing to pay for, it gets us that one step closer to success, that when these folks transition back out into the community from being in custody, that there's no question marks there, that we can help facilitate that transition, that this person now has skills that other people are willing to hire for. And so that is something that keeps me busy, among other things, is that we're currently working with the college to try and find out, is there any other type of programs that we can implement in that as well to take it to the next level to hopefully set these folks up for success.
Do you have any new projects or initiatives?
Well, that would probably be one of the biggest projects. I guess what I'm looking at, too, is another project that we have right now. We just, matter of fact, implementation started on Monday, and that was assisting courts and probation and leveraging that partnership to provide day reporting services such as classes for individuals who are mandated by the courts. We used to contract that service out, and it came at a very hefty price tag. And so utilizing the existing staff that we have in the county, not only with the sheriff's office, but probation and with behavioral health and several other individuals supporting from Health and Human Services, we've been able to take those programs and rebuild them internally within the county staff that we already have, as opposed to contracting those out to an outside company for a very hefty price. And so that's something that we're working through right now. It ultimately kind of closes that loop in how we address recidivism, how we help people be successful when they're navigating the justice system. And I just can't say how proud I am to be a part of that. Shout out to our presiding judge also, who's very dynamic in that approach and very supportive. And so it's been a lot going on in a very short amount of time, Mark, but I'm sure I could think of a few things if we had another 30 minutes.
Well, we've got 2 minutes left, Sheriff. School is almost back in session. Will you have school resource officers on the campuses again this year?
Absolutely. You can bet your dollar on that we will have school resource officers serving the children and the school administrations and the communities as a whole. We have a lot of area to cover, and so I get more feedback about how helpful the school resource officers are for creating that meaningful engagement with those kids and building trust at a level that is unprecedented in Tuolumne County. So it's something that I will always advocate for, that's for certain.
All right. I've got one final question for
yes,
you.
Sir.
I know that during your upbringing, you bounced around a little between Western Washington and Southern California. How did you arrive in Tuolumne County?
Oh, well, that's a great story. Well, I will say this. I enlisted into the Marine Corps when I was almost 18 years old, and that took me to Southern California where I met, where I describe as a Twain Heart girl down there. And so my significant other is from Twain Heart, and in 2005, she brought me home for Thanksgiving, and I immediately knew we have to live here. This is where we have to have children and raise our family. And so that's what brought me to Tuolumne County.
I think that's a fantastic story. We have been speaking with Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez. I'm Mark Trupner, filling in for BJ Hansen. Thank you for putting up with me, Sheriff.
Oh, pleasure to be here.
Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. BJ Hansen will be back next weekend.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.